Thanks, Andy, and thanks again to everybody who has supported WYPR in this spring membership campaign. I really appreciate it. We all do. I'm Tom Hall. If you just joined us, we've been talking today here on Midday about the many possibilities for wines from local vineyards, and now a conversation about how eating locally, and in particular, the rich history of food, farming, and environmental conservation in Harford County. Dr. Sharon Stowers joins me here in Studio A. Dr. Stowers is a professor of anthropology and sociology, and also, she's a registered dietitian and nutritionist. She has taught at Harford Community College for 15 years, and she's now the college's first scholar in residence. And a week from Saturday, she'll lead an event called Celebrating Harford's Farms and Foods. It's nice to meet you. Thanks for coming in.
Hello, Tom. Thank you so much.
And I'm also told that you've been a member of WYPR for 16 years.
Absolutely.
Well, that's very nice to hear as well. Thank you so much for that that support. So this event on a week from Saturday, one of the things you're going to do is you're going to unveil a map. It's a thing you can go to a website, and what's the map going to show you?
Well, first I want to remind folks what the name of the event is. It's actually called Food, Farmers, and Community, Opening the Dialogue, and it's bringing together our farmers and our community to talk about issues that are related to farming. And one of those things is our new GIS map that the farmers requested that we put together. And that map is to allow farmers to do face-to-face marketing, in that the map, which you can go to harford.edu/gather after Saturday when we unveil it, will allow people to go on the website, press an icon, either a grape or a little dairy cow, and they will find near them what farmers are producing those items and how to access them.
Yeah, so you can figure out what you want to buy and figure out where the closest place to buy it is.
Oh, yes.
That's nice. The issue of land stewardship is something that you're going to talk about at this symposium. That seems to be a very important and perhaps sometimes a contentious issue in Harford County. I know some folks who live in Harford County who, frankly bemoan the sort of McMansionization of a lot of farmland in Harford County. Tell us about that tension between, development and rural and agricultural conservation.
Harford County traditionally has been a rural county. And many years ago, they created a development envelope, so that envelope is where mostly the development is taking place. But as you know, there's been extensive development coming up to that area, and we still want to maintain our rural identity as well. So it's about the balance, really. And I know that people that do move up there want us to have that wonderful pastoral landscape. So they're also supporting this idea of keeping our farms as well. It turns out that Harford County is a national leader in land preservation for farmland in the country. And so we have some really strong programs that help farmers put their land in perpetuity so it does remain producing food and also beautiful landscape.
And are many of the farms, most of the farms up in Harford County, family-owned and sort of generationally passed from one generation to another?
Absolutely. We have many farms that are well over 100 years old, and some of them six and seven generations. These are small family farms. Now, the demands of consumers are changing, so that means that what they're producing also has to change as well.
One of the topics that you have in your symposium is called The Real Cost of Cheap Food, the Economic Challenges of Farming and Eating. I mean, we hear so much about the challenges that farmers face. I mean, they are completely beholden to the weather. They are completely beholden to, sometimes state regulations that make it difficult for what they do. And I think about the folks on the Eastern Shore and the regulations that they have. And, for example, their counterparts in Pennsylvania don't have the same kinds of regulations. Maryland is a little bit more aggressive when it comes to regulating agriculture. But in Harford County, what are the economic challenges of as you say, producing cheap eats?
Well, first of all, a lot of the land prices have gone up. So that is a real issue. So young farmers coming in, they probably will have a more difficult time accessing land if they don't have a family farm. But it's amazing. We have permaculture farmers up there who are growing a variety of foods just on 2 acres and are selling that food and making a living. So it doesn't necessarily...
So as little as 2 acres, yes, and you can make a go of it.
Yes, because permaculture is a type of agriculture where you're working with the land and you're regenerating it, in that you're investing in the land by growing food in an integrated system so that it's not neat little rows of vegetables. Everything is all kind of mixed up, and that helps to prevent pests from attacking the food, or a different way of irrigating the food. So these new techniques are really helping us preserve the land, as you've mentioned, because we sit right near the Susquehanna and the top of the Chesapeake Bay. And the regulations that we have up there have really impressed upon farmers about how to save the bay and the Susquehanna from runoff, for example.
Yeah, runoff's a big issue. Yeah, because I know there are a number of farms right here in the city. I mean, I think of Denzel Mitchell, who does the Strength to Love 2 farm that's over in Sandtown, Winchester. He doesn't have a big acreage, but he's, you know, producing also, they are producing all sorts of stuff and selling it at local markets. And then pretty soon in the spring, as I understand it, they're going to be selling it right in Sandtown. What's the latest on organic farming and GMOs and the labels that get applied to these things? And people really do have a lot of concern about GMOs, genetically modified foods. What's going on with that in Harford County?
Well, at this point, it's one of the reasons why we have this session for the symposium, which is next Saturday. The whole issue is getting consumers really concerned and farmers really concerned, because these demands by consumers for non-GMO or more organic foods directly affect them. I think one of the major issues around GMOs, because there's many pros and cons about GMOs, is that the American public really didn't get a chance to vote on whether you wanted GMOs in your food or not. So it was kind of slipped in. Scientists, this is common in science and technology today, right, Tom? Where scientists come up with these great ideas, they go ahead and go forward with those ideas, and before you know it, we have GMOs in our food system. So the pros that people talk about with GMOs are the fact that you can grow much more food and cheaper. The cons are that folks feel like maybe more pesticides are being used on the land, even though the GMOs are supposed to help control a little bit for that.
Bug resistant.
Right. But that also means that people can dump a lot of pesticides on their land and kill the unwanted plants around and bugs around that. But so that's one of the cons. And we're really going to go into this in depth at the symposium. And that's one of the reasons we really like the public to come, because there are some myths around some of these things. Mm-hmm. Organic, for example, it's very hard to become a certified organic farmer in the United States. There's a lot of hoops you have to jump through. For example, you need to grow organic for 3 years before you can be certified. So there are issues that farmers are moving towards this. We call them our transitional farmers. I don't know one farmer who isn't trying to adapt more to the environment and to the consumer demands, even if they're doing the most conventional of farming, growing soybeans and corn, which we have many farmers in the county that do that.
Yeah, and of course, organic is an imprimatur that a lot of farmers like. I mean, do you have an idea of roughly the percentage of farmers in Harford County who are strictly organic as opposed to those who are using various pesticides to keep the bugs at bay?
We don't have one certified organic farm in Harford County, but we have many farmers that are organic-like. Well, organic in that they are not officially certified, but they are doing all those practices. For example, Tommy Shireman at Three-Way Farm, he has a wonderful farm where he's supplying a lot of the Baltimore restaurants, actually, with mixed greens and microgreens. And we have people that are doing organic meat. So even though they're not certified, when you get to meet your farmer, you begin to trust them, and you can talk to them about how they raise their animals, and how they raise their vegetables.
I mean, you're a dietitian and a nutritionist, in addition to your other scholarly expertise. If you go into a Safeway or a Giant or a, you know, ShopRite and the sign says organic, do you believe it? I mean, does that alone give you enough confidence that the things under that rubric have in fact been done, have been grown organically?
It's hard to know unless they have the certification. So that is one of the problems with going to a local grocery store and buying organic food, whereas if you're buying it from the farmer, you know directly what he's doing or she's doing, and also you can see where the animals are raised or where the food is produced.
Yeah, and of course the history of farming and agriculture in Harford County goes way back. I mean, way back to indigenous people, Native Americans, who, you know, lived along the Susquehanna and you know, farmed and fished up in there. I mean, so this is a deep and rich history, isn't it?
Absolutely. Also, my other hat is doing archaeology, and we've done a lot of archaeology in that area. And we have a lot of evidence that these tribal people way back were actually quite wealthy by the standards of today because they did have such a rich food source. And we know that Native peoples, when they do have a rich food source, have lots of food that they can trade for other items, for example. But that, not only that, we had a burgeoning canning industry in Harford County. We were like the canning county of the nation in the 1920s with over 543 canneries in our area.
Wow. And just in Harford County?
Yes.
Yeah, interesting.
Especially corn. Then if you move up into the 30s, we were really the beginning of what we might call the sustainable agricultural movement. It was called permanent agriculture then. And a man named Russell Lord, who wrote about the environment with the Deer Creek watershed farmers that are in our area, were doing very sustainable practices very early on. So we have that claim to fame as well.
Yeah, it goes back a long way. Yes. Dr. Sharon Stowers is the scholar in residence at Harford Community College. And on Saturday, the 16th of March, she will lead a symposium for the public and farmers about Harford's farms and foods. And we'll have a link to that event on our website, wipr.org/midday. Sharon, it's really great to meet you. Thanks for coming in, and good luck at the symposium.
Thank you for all your interest in our community.
That's it for us today. You can join us tomorrow for Midday at the Movies with Anne Hornaday, The Washington Post, and Jed Dietz, the founding executive director of the Maryland Film Festival. Plus, J. Wynne Russick will be here. She'll have a review of Frankenstein at the Cohesion Theater Company here in Baltimore. That's all coming up tomorrow on Midday. Lunch today was provided by the Baltimore Chef Shop there on the Avenue in Hamden, offering a variety of private events and cooking classes for kids and adults, including baking and international cuisines. Tomorrow night, they're offering a pizza, calzone, and stromboli class. Gift certificates are available. You can find out more on the web at BaltimoreChefShop.com. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks to everybody who has made a pledge to WIPR, and this, the penultimate day of our spring membership drive. Andy Bienstock joins us once again to talk about how you can be part of the WIPR family.